Back here on the Big Show, it is Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. Time for our chat with the coach, Bill Belichick. How are you doing today, Coach?
Pretty good, Glenn. How about you? Pete,
doing fine.
Steve,
Pretty
Fred.
Good. Fantastic.
I'm hanging in there. I like your new jacket. Good. Nice red.
It's a Rutgers lacrosse jacket.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Never
see
a lacrosse jacket.
Yeah.
They don't have the hoodies in the at Rutgers. They don't believe
they don't?
In them.
Oh,
no.
Sure.
They have
popsicles.
Do they have the hoodies,
oh,
too?
They
you're not wearing one of
They're
those?
They're in style now.
The hoodies.
What a sport, smashing people with sticks and kicking them. I like that.
You like that sport?
I think it's come a long way.
Fred, I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. That's just,
thank you. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Lacrosse expert.
All right, let's start.
How's it going here today?
Very difficult, Coach. Very difficult. He's too obnoxious and overbearing.
Fred's been playing junior GM, and it's been blown up
well,
in
I've been
face,
wrong three out of three, so they're holding that against me.
You remember that time when you had to convince Fred that Randy Moss probably would be a good addition to
he
the
didn't
team?
Give me, just
you remember
said,
that
give
one?
Him a chance.
Said, give him a chance, Fred.
All right, I was wrong.
So Larry Johnson's name pops out this afternoon. And some caller called up and said, you know, do you think there's a chance that the Patriots would at least consider picking up Larry
Johnson? No, that's not what he said. You lying.
What did he say?
Round bag of.
What did he say?
He said, there's a chance the Patriots would pick him up.
Yeah, and you said zero.
I said zero.
Right off the
bat. And you went crazy and rolled on the ground.
No, Steve and I kind of laughed at you because it was the same reaction we got with Rodney Harrison and we got with Randy Moss.
Not Rodney Harrison. I just made that up.
So
it was Dylan and Randy.
Brady.
Brady.
So I said
So Fred would like to know if there's any chance that you pick
would like
up Larry Johnson. What, you were going
to
ask the question.
He's too heavy. He's not going to pick him up.
Right.
No.
Right. Well, I haven't seen the wire, but I assume he'll be on there. And I would doubt it.
Okay. Would it be his ability or as a player right now? Because he's not doing much.
You know, first of all, I think a player like that that's on the wire, similar to Chris Chambers that came on last week, somebody will claim ahead of us. Even if we claimed him, I doubt that we would get him. But, you know, we'd have to decide whether or not we wanted to do that or not. And maybe that's something we'll talk about. But I would think he would get claimed before he would get to us.
When you're dealing with a player like that, that has this public baggage, obviously you've got to vet him out as a player. But how much do you, and how do you do it, figure out? Because obviously there were a lot of people that were saying things about Corey Dillon in the past. People were saying things about Randy Moss. You obviously came to different conclusions on both of those players. How do you do that? How do you vet out? How do you find out what the true story is?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And it depends on what your options are. Sometimes it's other players. Sometimes it's coaches. Sometimes it's front office people. Just, you know, trying to find somebody that you feel like you can trust that really knows how it would be in your system, not how it was somewhere else or in some other set of circumstances, but how it would be for in our system. And so I don't know.
Well, personal interviews you've had with those guys, you said Dylan knew a lot of people, frustrated he wasn't.
Yeah, but I had never met Corey when we traded for him, and I had never talked to Randy until Randy, you know, came in that Sunday morning at like 9 a.m. before the trade, 8 o'clock, whatever it was, before the trade was done at 10. So I had met those players until we, you know, had actually made those deals. So anyway, so that, you know, so you just try to find somebody that you feel like can give you accurate information.
All right, let's get to yesterday's game. Were you surprised at anything? We talked so much was made of the Wildcat. They didn't use it until midway through that second quarter. They come out with a slight wrinkle in that they're using Pat White out there. Anything surprise you? What did they do differently? You thought that they would come up with something different than what you'd seen in the past?
You know, not too much. We expected when White was in there that it would be some type of option game, which is what it had been, and that's what he does. And they, you know, they ran that speed option, and we just didn't play it very well. And then they ran it the second time. It pitched the ball, and, you know, we didn't support that very well. So, you know, unfortunately, those two plays hurt us a little bit. And there were things that we'd prepared for. We just didn't, you know, when they came up, we just didn't do them as well as we would like to have. Then we talked about it at halftime, and you know, they tried again in the second half a couple times. Really didn't get too much out of it. So, you know, they do what they do, which is they change things up a lot. Some of the formations and plays that we saw, so a couple of their two tight end formations were things that we got when Haney was at Carolina back in 2005 when we played him down there. So same thing with the empty. Those were kind of the looks that we got that he hadn't, I'm not saying he hadn't shown them in the last 5 years, but hadn't shown him in the last 5 weeks. So, so you know, he dug out some things and stuff like that. So we had some adjustments to make during the game defensively. You know, and offensively, they tried to, you know, double Moss and Welker at times, not all the time, but we did get some of that. And then they pressured some like they usually try to do. And then they, you know, they played some of their normal, you know, man coverage and a little bit of zone. So that was kind of the game. There were some adjustments during the game. You know, we had more on defense probably than we did on offense.
Going to Wildcat for a second, how much of it, because people talk about it, you know, the announcers that you're surprised. Are you surprised by anything? Because it looks like a bunch of those plays, it was just a fundamental breakdown here, or the outside backer took an inside
or
peek.
Or missed tackle there.
For an outside peek and didn't spray, you know, extend it to the sideline so the pursuit can get to it.
Yeah, well, we had enough people. You know, it wasn't like they had us outnumbered or out leveraged. We had enough people. We just, you know, missed an assignment where you have, you know, somebody on a, you know, somebody on the inside run, if there is one, somebody on the quarterback, somebody on the pitch. And so, you know, but you have to have that on both sides, too. So that really, you know, accounts for six people total. So however you break those responsibilities down. So we just didn't, you know, we just missed it, that's all.
Understanding that the Wildcat gives defenses something to look at and think about and practice up during the week, Does it take away from your preparation as an offense because you're kind of, I don't know, serving two masters?
Sure. Oh, sure, yeah. If you want to run that, you're going to have to commit some time to it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like you said, that takes away from other things. So you just have to decide, you know, if you commit time to it, you got to use it, or that then it really wouldn't make any sense. So.
And they committed a second-round pick to it in Pat White, too, isn't that right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there's it certainly takes time defensively to prepare for it, but offensively, if you're going to run unbalanced line, wildcat, things like that, you're going to have to spend some time working on it.
How much does
I think the thinking probably in the long run, Steve, if you do that, what you're saying is, well, once we get used to it, it becomes a normal thing for us, and we just kind of review during the week. Whereas for the opponent, it's a big deal, and they proportionally they're spending more time on a weekly basis than we are.
Right.
And you know, if you believe in it, that's why you do it.
Sure.
Coach, is there any type of routine of when he brings it in and when he doesn't? It seems like sometimes they'll bring it in when they're like Henny was on a kind of a flow. They bring it in. Is there any type of substitution method that you can figure out?
You know, I don't think so. I think a lot of times you see it within a series. So if it is going good, they might run it, you know, two or three times. And also if they, a lot of times they'll run the same formation within a series. So they can kind of see your adjustment and then call the next play based on what you were in on the last play, rather than waiting until you get to the sideline. And maybe the next time they call it on the new series, maybe you make some kind of adjustment and you're in something else. They kind of like to see what you're in and get you in that and then run the play that they feel like will be good against it based on how your reaction was to play before.
Love to get your thought process on two plays. The fourth and inches, Brady comes out with a hard count, looks like he's trying to get them to move. Neil moves instead. One, were you running a play there? If you couldn't get them offside, was he going to run that play to try to get the first down? Is that the plan?
Yes, we had a play called. Yeah, we just... it wasn't a good play. You know, there was a couple things there that were just, it wasn't a good play, and that's my fault. So,
what are you thinking there? In that, you get the field goal. Well, you don't. It's not guaranteed. Obviously, you still have to kick it. You get the 2-score lead with a minute 14 left. Are you fearful there that the field goal gets blocked, and so that gives them an opportunity to score? What's going through your head there? Are you looking at the various opportunities and how they can still win the game?
Well, right. Yeah, I think at that point there was. What about a minute?
Minute 14.
Yeah, a little over a minute to go in the game. Yeah. And we have a 7-point lead. So you say, okay, well, how can they win? First of all, fourth and inches, if we pick that up, the game's over. Right. We kneel on the ball. If we kick the field goal, it's a 2-score game, which, you know, you got a guy who returned 2 kickoffs for a touchdown last week. You know, that's an issue. Or, you know, I mean, we've all seen 10 points in a minute. Yep. You know, we all know how that can happen. So, and then just like when we played the Jets in 5-6 down there, 06, you know, we're up 21-0. It's 21-14. We're kicking a field goal. It was about a 20-some-yard field goal to make it, 24-14. And they block it. And lucky they didn't run it back for a touchdown. So we ended up holding them there. But, you know, a blocked field goal in that situation, that's, I think you, you know, you have a lot better chance of them scoring on that than maybe a team like Miami, you know, scoring on an 80-yard drive with no timeouts because they'd used all the timeouts. So, you know, had it been 4th and 10, it's easy. You go in there, kick the field goal. 4th and 6, you kick the field goal. 4th and 2 inches, then do you want to kick the field goal? Do you want to pick up first down and the game that way? So
once you
that's kind of the options you got.
Yeah, and once you get the penalty, obviously
once you get the penalty,
shift it.
Yeah.
The mistake I think I made thinking of it, I'm sitting there, why wouldn't you go right now to get the 2-score lead? But you don't have that 2-score lead. You don't have that 3 points. That's not like automatic or guaranteed. And you're right. If you block, they block that, suddenly you got to.
Or you kick off to them, game runs it back, they go onside kick.
Well, even as it was, we ended up kicking, wasn't it a 40-yard field goal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we miss it, they got the ball on the 30-yard line, as opposed to where we ran the play in the first place, which would have been on about the 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that ended up being, with the penalty, it ends up being another 12 yards. You know, and they still, if we miss that, the touchdown ties. So, you know, it's another. A little more field position you end up giving them.
All right, the other one I wanted to bring up, 3:15 left in the third quarter. You're up by 5 after the touchdown. You elect to go for the 2. We've had this conversation many times. Usually you talk about the fourth quarter late in the game. This was a little bit earlier for you. My guess is, did you have a play that you figured, we got to run this play?
Well,
you just know what this play's going to work.
Yeah, I think that was the number one thing, Glenn, is we felt good about the play. And as I said after the game, that was really a tough decision. It could have gone either way. We could have kicked it. You know, there's still 18 minutes left to go in the game. You know, to think that was going to be the last score of the game, even though it basically was the last score of the game, you know, until the final field goal, that probably wasn't the way it was going to go. But it ended up happening that way. But we just, we could easily kicked it. Part of the reason I'm going for 2 is we felt good about the play. And that we felt like we knew what the Dolphins were going to be in on that. And felt like we had a pretty good play there. So
it worked.
Yeah, and had we not felt as good about the play, we definitely kick it. But even as it was, you know, 8-10 minutes further into the game, definitely go for 2. 4 or 5 minutes earlier in the game, definitely kick it. Right there at the start of the fourth quarter, end of the third quarter, was right in the gray area. It could have gone either way.
How much does the implementation of the Wildcat and having White in there and then bringing Henning, how much does that take away from them being able to establish some continuity in offense? So at the end of the game, when there's 2 minutes left, they put Henning in and he hasn't been in all the time. How much does that take away their ability to function as smooth as they want to be in 2 minutes?
Yeah, well, I think that's an interesting question, Fred. But, you know, I would just say when you look at the Jets game, for example, on Monday night when they played them in early October, you know, on that last drive, Pat White hadn't played at all and he came in and he ran a dive keep, then they ran a quarterback draw. You know, I mean, that was a critical situation in the game. Hadn't been in all game. Same thing in the Atlanta game. They brought him in the second half. So, you know, I guess it's something that they're comfortable with. And if they're comfortable with it, then, you know, they'll go ahead and do it. But he's been in there in some critical situations, probably none more so than that first Jets game. And he made a couple big plays for him. So, you know, I guess they don't mind doing it.
Lawrence Maroney seemed to have a different level. Braced his game to a different level yesterday, I thought. If you look at the box score, it doesn't look all that impressive. But he ran with a purpose yesterday, a different kind of purpose, head down, very hard. I'd like to see a lot more of that kind of running because he's so capable of it. He's a tough guy to bring down. Did you feel like he raised his game a notch yesterday? I know you say every week he's running hard, but, I mean, he looked different yesterday.
Cut his hair.
You know, Pete, I think he's been running hard. I really do. I think he's been running hard all year. You know, I thought he ran hard against Tennessee. Thought he ran hard against Tampa. You know, now in the Tampa game, he didn't really get a lot of great opportunities until the end of the game, you know, but, you know, he split those, and I thought he ran hard in the Baltimore game. Now, a couple of those were on pass plays, you know, checkdowns and screens and, you know, stuff like that. But I think he's been running hard all year. And, you know, yesterday when he had some space, you know, he made some yards. And when there wasn't anything there, there wasn't much there. You know, it was a couple 1- and 2-yard gains. So
is he one of those backs, though, because I was reading the stat today, it's been almost since December of 07 since he actually got to carry the ball 20 times in a game. Is he one of those backs, though, that to really get going needs more reps?
You know, I think he's one of those backs that needs a little bit of room, you know, like any back. You know, when you get the ball and there's no hole and there's no movement and everybody's standing there, where you get the ball and somebody's in the backfield and you gotta dodge him just to get back to the line of scrimmage, you know, it's hard to run. I think, you know, Lawrence is like any back. If you get the ball, give him a little bit of space, give him a chance to get going. He's going to make some yards. And, you know, I think you say that about really just about any back. And certainly yesterday our offensive line, particularly early in the game, those first couple of drives, we got some good movement. There were some holes. You know, we had people blocked, and Lawrence ran well. And you know, Kevin, you know, had a couple of draw plays there in the second quarter, too, where we, you know, got some separation. So, you know, I think a combination of the play calling, the blocking, and, you know, sometimes what the defense actually does, they can help you out in some running plays and other plays. You know, they can do something to kind of stun in there and take it away from you.
Coach.
But it was a little bit all that, you know, during the course of the game.
Were you giving Sebastian Vollmer less help than you had in the previous couple of games yesterday?
No, I don't think so, Steve. I think we just tried to mix it up on those guys. First of all, they all played Wake and Porter and Taylor and then Roth. And you know, I think we might have seen Anderson out there a little bit, Torbor. So they had a lot of different guys rushing out there on the edge. But we tried to mix it up. You know, we had some deeper throws, some more protection. We had some quicker throws. We moved the pocket a little bit. We hit them with the backs and the tight ends. And sometimes we didn't hit them. We ran some screens and draws. So, you know, the thing we just didn't want to do is go back there and throw the ball 40 times from the same place in a pocket with the same protection and just, you know, let them run wild. Mm-hmm. So we just tried to mix it up and changed up on.
Did they blitz anymore? I think there's a stat that Brady had 230 yards against the blitz.
The NFL stat was 44% of the time they blitzed, and Brady had like 258.
Bringing in five extra, right.
Yeah,
well, I mean, they do quite a bit of five-man rush. Yep. They do that anyway, and as you get closer to the goal line, they'll bring six and, you know, just play straight man-to-man with a five, you know, five-on-five. So, you know, but I'd say that's probably about their normal blitz percentages. They brought it a decent amount of time, and you know, they covered us some. Played quite a bit of man coverage.
So they pretty much
a lot more than we'll see this week, that's for sure.
Yeah. Play pretty much what you've seen before in the film.
Yeah, the thing they did that they have done, but the thing they did a little bit differently for us was when Randy was in the game with another receiver, they did play some coverage over the top of him, and then when Randy and Wes were in there together and some of their sub defenses, they tried to get them both. So
I think when he was able to field the ball, Ted Ginn had two returns, both up around the 35, 36, 37-yard line. But the rest of the times you found the way of neutralizing Ted Ginn, including after the penalty, Gostkowski kicks that ball deep in the end zone. That was pretty impressive. I guess that's how you shut a guy like that down, huh?
Well, yeah, Steve's a big weapon for us. And then the one after we scored there, I think Merriweather got him about the 22, 23, whatever it was. So, no, Steve had an excellent day, you know, 4-for-4 on the field goals and the touchbacks. And, you know, he thought even on the ones that weren't touchbacks going toward the lighthouse, that ball was up in the air.
He got a tackle, too. He tackled him one time.
Yeah, when he bounced it all the way back across the field in front of our bench. So, yeah, you know, our coverage was big there. And in the punting game, you know, most of those kicks were from the plus 50. So, you know, they were basically fair catches inside of 20, but that was good, too. So, you know, overall, I think we had a little bit of an advantage on field position-wise throughout the course of the game. Not a big one, but a little bit.
What happened on the tight end pass from Brown? Looked like Cowan bit on it and didn't follow the tight end. We can't tell what the coverage is, but just someone bit on the run and dropped the coverage because Brown threw it up like that was an interception waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, Tully was right on him. You know how it is on the goal line. Yep. You know, everybody's playing run, and, you know, you just take a false step there, and they get behind you, and, you know, Brown made a good throw. We just missed it. We should have had that play. But, you know, again, everybody's thinking run, and you got to stop the run first, you know, and they just, you know, ran a little play action off it, got a step on us, and he put it up there.
If there's anything disappointing, would it be the red zone offense that you go in there four times and you come out with field goals three times?
Well, really, you know, one for three. You know, the last one was, you know, and then, yeah, the red zone offense, only more disappointing thing would be the red zone defense. You know, we were 0-for-2. And, you know, last year against Miami, we were, what was it, 0-for-9 in two games. So we played them three times here. We haven't stopped in the red area once. So, yeah, that's not good.
You moved around some of your defensive linemen, in particular Will Fork, to the outside. Was that a reaction to their personnel or just what you were trying to give them a different look.
Well, looking at their offensive line, Steve, it felt like the strength of that line were the two tackles, mm-hmm. you know, with Long and
the other guy,
72. Help me out.
Pete's got the stats.
Yeah.
anyway, so, you know, those are the two best guys there. And
Kerry,
yeah, kid from Miami, right. So, you know, Kerry Long, and so Vince and Ty, you know, matched up on them. And, you know, they've hurt us in the past. And they hurt everybody, really, that run a game, you know, in those off-tackle runs. That's their bread and butter is the runs between the tight end and the tackle or the tight end and the kick-out block with a wing there. So, thought by having Vince and Ty there, that would give us, you know, two good guys at the point there. And you know, Mike Wright's done a good job for us inside. And also mm-hmm. Myron Pryor was our kind of our next, you know, next backup nose. And he played some in the game. I thought he, you know, gave us some decent snaps. And then Mike was bumped out to end as kind of the third end. So mm-hmm. Felt like that's kind of where our, you know, our depth was. And otherwise, if Myron would have been inside and Vince was inside, and then, you know, one of those would have had to bump out the end anyway, so we just went ahead and went with Vince out there.
All right, let's take a 90-second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the showdown with the unbeaten Indianapolis Colts coming up on Sunday night. We'll do that right after this. All right, back here on the Big Show. It's Patriots Monday. It's the Pats and the Colts. You know, we laugh about these divisional games. You know, you say you know so much about Miami, you know so much about the Jets. It's almost like a divisional game. They were once in the division. But don't you get that feeling? You just seem to know so much about them. It's one of those where guys are going to pick this stuff up pretty quickly, I would think, this week.
Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Denver. It seems like we play them every year. You know, Pittsburgh's not on the schedule this year, but it's one of the few years they haven't been.
Next year.
You get the Colts again next year.
And usually away, too.
You get them again next year. You will.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
How different are they without Bob Sanders? So much is made about what he does, a guy that is a safety that plays like a linebacker. He's up on the line all the time. Does he make them look much different? Do they do different things when he's out of there, Bill?
Well, I think the player who's replaced him, Bullitt, is I'm not saying he's Bob Sanders, but he plays a lot like Bob. He's very aggressive, you know, tough guy that comes down in the box, comes flying down into the line of scrimmage 100 miles an hour looking to blow somebody up, just like Sanders does. So it's that same type of a player there. You know, I think Bob's, you know, 4-4 kind of guy. He's got real, you know, he's got outstanding speed and very instinctive. But Bullitt kind of plays like that, too.
Is he a better coverage guy? Sanders, a lot of times, more up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't think either one of those guys are, you know, noted for their coverage, or they want to be great coverage players. They want to stop
miniature
the run, and they
linemen.
And they want to play zone, and they want to get to the ball. You know, so they're man-to-man. They don't do a lot of it, and I don't think they're all excited about doing it anyway.
Has Manning done anything different? Looks like he's carried more of the load of the team. You know, against Miami game, they're getting mauled. He comes up with big plays against Houston, against everyone. 13 catches or 14 for the tight end, but he just seems to be, you know, a man amongst boys out there with his ability to find the open guy and become under pressure.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, as usual, he seems like every game is pretty close to flawless. You know, he doesn't miss too many passes and seems like he's always getting the ball to the right guy. And the more critical the situation, the more they seem to make the right play. And so, you know, he's having a good year. He's got some younger receivers with him. You know, we've been through that, too. We know what that's like. But they're productive, and of course he's got Clark, and he's got Dallas, you know, Dallas Clark and Reggie Wayne, and those two guys have made a ton of plays for him too. You know, it's not like it's, you know, like they're showing up and a die. So, you know, he's got some guys he can definitely count on, and he's got some young guys that have come through for him, and he's put them in good positions to make plays. You know, so
what do you do to stop Dallas Clark, especially over the middle? I think he had 10 receptions in the first quarter of the game against Houston yesterday. So much of that stuff is over the middle. How do you stop the guy?
Well, you know, it's hard. And the more, and they've got you, you know, the more you put on him, then the less you have for Reggie Wayne. And the more you put on those two guys, then the less you have for the running game and Adai. And so, you know, plus they've got, you know, all the other guys too. So, you know, it's hard. I mean, that's why they're the, you know, top offense in the league, and, you know, they're scoring a lot of points and they're winning a lot of games. They're hard to defend.
You
can take one thing away, and then they, you know, it's not like, well, if you take this play away and they might happen to have that call, then you've got them. It's if they see you're taking that away, they don't even bother with it. They're coming somewhere else. So, you know, it's in the end, everybody across the board has to do a good job. They got too many weapons to just say, well, we're going to stop this one thing. Everybody's got to do a good job. You got to stop the run. You got to stop the vertical game. You got to stop the possession game. You got to cover all the receivers. If one of them's open, he'll throw it to him.
Is he one of those kind of rare tight ends that you might double team a lot in this game or try to? Or if, like you said, if you do that, somebody else is going to be open.
Yeah, I think you got to mix it up on. No question. I'm sure there'll be times in the game where we'll double them. I think there'll be other times where we won't. You know, one thing I don't think you want to do is do the same thing every time to Manning, and let him come out and say, okay, well, all right, here they are. They're doing this thing again. He'll have something for it, and that's you know, you got to make it harder on than that.
How much does he do at the line of scrimmage when he's yapping? Is it real and how much isn't real? I mean, he's always pointing and always talking, always adjusting. How much is window dressing?
Well, they're no huddle and they call the plays, so, you know, they have to get them called. Mm-hmm. I think once the play is called, again, if it doesn't look good, then they'll try to get out of it. If they call the play and they kind of got what they were hoping for or what they thought you were going to play in that situation, then they go ahead and run. But if it doesn't look good, they'll try to keep running a bad play.
It looked
and
like,
I think that's where the check-in comes in, is when, you know, he sees something that, you know, this is going to be a problem on the play, or he's got a play called, and then he sees you in a coverage, cover two, or blitz, or whatever it is, where he's thinking, well, rather than run this play that I've got called, this is our chance to run some special play against this, whatever it is, and then he'll try to get to that play and match it up for, you know, for a big play.
How high is it to bait him into making the wrong call?
Well, he's been baited for 10 years. You know, that's why he does his double cadence and his long counts and you know, it's a game. It's a cat and mouse game. You know, you can bait him, but you know, he usually figures that out, or sometimes he goes quick, and then while you're baiting, the ball snapped and you're out of position. So he tries to. You got to do a good job with it. I mean, everybody tries to do it, but it's, you know, it's hard. He figures it out.
Is there 8-0 record more of a product of a somewhat weak first half schedule, or are they that good?
Well, the thing I'd say about them, Steve, is whatever they need to do, they do. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the game, if they need to drive for a score, they drive for a score. Yeah. If they need to run out the clock and control the ball for the last 4 or 5 minutes, they control the ball. If they need a defensive stop, like in the Miami game, then they go in there and get a defensive stop. So. It looks to me like what kind of whatever they've been called upon to do in the fourth quarter, they've made the play. You know, if they got to make a kick at the end of the game, they make it. How much the team's got to make a play, for whatever reason, they either the Colts stop them or the other team just doesn't make it. Like the missed field goal, you know, would he make a 50-some yarder and then he missed a 42-yarder or whatever it was. So, you know, when you have your chances against the Colts, this is for sure. When you have your chances against the Colts, you got to make them count. You know, because it's not going to be an endless number. You got to take advantage of the ones you got, and you got to capitalize on those.
You see any marked differences between the way this team is coached and the previous years?
Well, I think the biggest difference is on defense, Fred. With Larry Coyer as a defensive coordinator, there's some similarities because of the players, you know, Freeney and Mathis and Brock and, you know, guys like that. But I think their scheme is a little bit different with Coyer than it was with Dungy and Ron Meeks. They're not quite as much of a zone team. They're a little bit more of a pressure team. I'm not saying they blitz all the time, but I'm saying they blitz more than what they did, you know, when Tony and Ron were there. So they have a few change-ups defensively. Offensively, it's the same. I don't see much difference there other than, you know, there's some personnel changes, but the scheme's the same.
When you look at the young receivers, Garcon and Colley come in here, and Harrison's gone, and Gonzalez has been hurt through a good portion of the season. Do you see these kids making mistakes from time to time? Is that something that you can exploit with your defense, with a younger positional player, especially at the receiver spot?
Well, I don't think there's any question that Manning's got more confidence in Clark and Wayne than the other guys. I don't think that's a slight necessarily to the other guys. It's partially a commentary on how good Clark and Wayne are. I mean, those are two of the best players in the league on the same offense, along with the quarterback. So, you know, I mean, in critical situations, clutch time, he's got to have it. I mean, that's who he's looking for. But, again, you go to the Miami game, and he threw the slip screen to Garcon. And so, you know, I mean, he's certainly not afraid to use those guys. But, you know, if all other things being equal, you know, probably going to Clark and Wayne.
Do you ever go into a game like this, tell the guys at the beginning of the week, being up front with them, saying, guys, you know, we're probably going to need at least 30 to win this game, regardless of how good you think your defense is capable of playing? Do you have that kind of mentality when you go into a game like this, particularly on the road in that place?
Well, I think, Pete, you go into every game thinking defensively we can't give up too many points, and offensively we need to score a lot, you know. But you never know how those games are going to go. I remember when we went out, and I was with the Giants, we went out to play the 49ers on a Monday night game in early December, and, you know, it was going to be one of those 35 to 34 games, and it ended up being 7-3, you know, and we could score, and they could score, and we felt like they weren't very good on defense, and they thought like we weren't very good on offense, and it was going to be one of those, you know, and 7-3. So you never know. You never know. I think defensively, every time we go out on the field, we want to stop them, and offensively, every time we go out on the field, we want to score. I mean, it's the only reason we put the offense out there. So, you know, could it take a lot of points? You know, it might, but we're trying to score them anyway, and we're trying to stop them.
You think there'll be an unusual amount of crowd noise?
Well,
like,
it's always
like Bill Polian piped it. Like there seemed to be last time you're out there.
Yeah. No, that's a pretty noisy place. They always, your head's ringing by the end of that game.
Is that the worst place you've been in for noise?
Yeah, probably.
Because you get that dome.
I mean, as much as any place. There's a lot of noise there.
And it makes a difference.
I take it they'll close it Sunday, right? They'll close the roof on Sunday, right? They'll close it.
Unless you bring the roof down. With Freeney and Mathis on the outside, it helps a lot when the noise, because you go silent count.
No question. Being on turf in a dome is a big advantage for the pass rushers. There's no question. That's something that, you look at teams like, you know, Minnesota, when they had those great pass rushing teams with John Randall and those guys playing, you know, in the dome, and, you know, teams like that that could really, you know, really rush the passer, those dome stadiums, no question they help.
How do you change the count up on silent count? Just go one more, have a system to go on a second 1-1000 or something like that.
Right. Nature. Yep. That's right. You either go on the, you know, with the second head bob or the pause between the, you know, the head bobs and that kind of thing. Yeah, you try to change it up on them, but it's hard. You know, a lot of times it's just, you know, tougher for the offense. And you know, when you watch the film, a lot of times you see those tackles. It's so rhythmic that the defense is getting off on that rhythm, but so are the tackles, and they're kind of beating the count, you know, getting off the ball. They're going right as the ball's going, and so it's so rhythmic that they anticipate it and go. And you know, I'm not sure that's not the best way. You know, they're getting off on it, but you're getting off on it too. So, you know, the problem is where you're just a half a step late. You
they're
know,
going you, before, and you're going backwards.
Yeah, then so. it's all over. Yeah, those are not only tackles and sacks; they're usually strips. Yeah.
How beat up is their defense, and how have their subs played in response?
You know, they've got some young players in the secondary, but, you know, they're pretty good. Powers, the kid from Auburn, we did a lot of work on him. You know, he's a good, solid player for him. He's done a good job for him in there. And, you know, Jennings has, you know, been there for a couple of years. Of course, Mathis, a free safety, has, you know, been to a Pro Bowl. He's a pretty solid guy. So, they're hanging in there. I mean, the big thing for them is the pass rush. And, you know, when they get to the quarterback and they're knocking him down, and he's got about 2 seconds to throw, you know, that's what takes the pressure off. And if you can block him and have time to separate the defense, then, you know, that gives some opportunities to pass the ball. But, you know, those guys are pretty good rushers. That you don't have long back there.
All right, Coach, terrific win yesterday. Should be a real test on Sunday night. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Okay, yep, this will be a good one this week. Yep. We're looking forward to this.
Can imagine you guys are.
Yep.
Have a great week. We'll see you back here on Monday. Quick break, and we're back here with the Big Show.